Stay tuned. My Dad and Generations is next.
Warning. This program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a father of five, and that's why I'm with you on the air today. Dave Buhner, another father of five in studio. And Dave, a few months ago, I mentioned that my daughter Abigail had two goals. My little five-year-old had two goals for 2005, and that was, number one, she wanted to ride a bike, and number two, she wanted to read God's Word. Now, we just got news just now. Abigail has ridden the bike.
How's she doing on the Bible?
She's doing real good. She's learning how to read. She's about maybe 20 pages through her Alpha Phonics course.
Now, what's amazing isn't that she's 5 years old and she's accomplished that goal. What's amazing to me is that, Kevin, you are training your five-year-old to set goals.
And more importantly, she wants to read God's Word. I tell you, that warms my heart, Dave. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we want to talk about powerful forces that rule in the minds and lives of our children. And I think the message that goes out to a lot of Christian kids out there is, give your heart to Jesus, but give everything else to MTV, Abercrombie, and Fitch in the tattoo parlor. Dave, I think that message is predominant.
And it's not just to our youth, it's to our adults. We've documented on this program, giving to the church is down. So don't give your money to God. Don't give your attitude. Don't give your children to God. Put them in the public schools. Give them to the socialists.
I run into a lot of Christian kids and say, you know, I've given my heart to Jesus, but as you talk to them, you find out their mind, their worldview, their dress, their attitudes, they've given them to MTV because they're copying MTV. They could care less what the Word of God says about their attitudes, honoring father and mother, about their dress, dressed modestly. The Bible's very clear on that. Or about body mutilation. Today we're going to talk about powerful evil men that control the minds, the dress, and the attitudes of our children. I'm going to interview David Kapelian on his new shocking book, The Marketing of Evil. David Kapelian from WorldNet Daily is next on Generations. Folks, we're back. This is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Today the subject is the marketing of evil. The marketing of evil in the land of the brave and the home of the free, the United States of America. It is happening across the fruited plains. And today my interview is with David Kapelian. He is the author of the book, The Marketing of Evil. David is also the vice president and managing editor of WorldNet Daily. David, welcome to Generations.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Kevin.
David, as you talk about the marketing of evil, and you mentioned branding, bug chasing, we mentioned rape rap from time to time on this program, what is happening to America?
Yeah, it's astonishing. In my lifetime, in your lifetime, this country has absolutely changed. When I grew up, I watched Leave It to Beaver and the Mickey Mouse Club, and now we have MTV and Desperate Housewives and Will and Grace. What's happened, and this is the theme of my book, is that this has not come about by accident. This has happened because Americans have been sold on destructive, self-destructive, and dangerous beliefs and behaviors in the same means that Madison Avenue uses to sell us on cigarettes and the latest fashions and cars. And this is something we all know about, Madison Avenue and the deceitful ways they have of selling things, but we don't recognize it when it deals with our worldviews and our behaviors. Only when we watch a 60-second spot on TV do we understand it.
I think the most amazing thing for most of us is that it happens so quickly. I mean, within 20 to 30 years, we have lesbians making out in public high schools. We have these things you talk about in the book, which is hardly something you could talk about on the radio. It seems to have happened quickly, and yet these are consequences. Really, preparatory work was being done prior to the 1960s.
You are right. This has been going on since really into the 19th century, way back around the times of Marx and Darwin and so forth, and into the early years of the 20th century. We had a lot of communist infiltration. No, it's not a joke. It's not some right-wing thing. you did really have hundreds of communist agents in this country. It's a matter of record. In Hollywood, there were over 600 members of the Communist Party when Ronald Reagan got his start fighting, you know, communists as head of the Screen Actors Guild. That was just in Hollywood. So there were many influences during the 30s and the 40s that were really working to undermine America, people that had radically different agendas from anything we would consider mainstream. It didn't really pop out, you know, into the street, so to speak, until the 1960s. So we think of that as the Cultural Revolution, where we had riots on college campuses, and you have the hippie Cultural Revolution and the Sexual Revolution and Gay Revolution. It was going on before then. But that's when a whole confluence of things, you know, anti-war protests and the cultural invasion from England of the, you know, rock and roll and the drug culture, all that sort of hit at one time, and that's when we think of as the big change that happened in America. But it was going on before then.
And you would suggest in your book that it's still happening. These radicals, these elitists are still leading the culture down to Gomorrah.
Oh, absolutely. It's a juggernaut. You look at, you know, the first chapter of my book is on gay rights. Not because I want to pick on gay rights in particular, but because the gay rights marketers, and by the way, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm actually quoting verbatim from the gay rights marketers, the abortion marketers, and so forth themselves in their own words, where they explain the powerful manipulative propaganda techniques, proven techniques taken from psychology and psychiatry, used in propaganda over the world, how they're using these very techniques today to basically, you know, transform America.
Now, as families face all of this garbage in their homes and garbage in the schools and so forth, what would you recommend to the average family in terms of reacting to this?
Well, you know, I have 10 chapters in the book, and each chapter is on a different slice of life. There are common sense suggestions. I mean, my wife and I, our approach to dealing with the problems in the school system is to homeschool our children. There are individual things that you can do in every area of life to basically safeguard and to preserve the kind of culture you want your kids and your family to grow up in. But in the macro sense, one of the biggest things is to encourage the new media. The new media being the term we use for what you and I are doing, the internet, talk radio, you know, the bloggers, cable news. I make a statement in my book that there's no institution that is more complicit, more responsible for making evil look good and good look evil than the news media.
Is there any hope, David, for the future of this nation? It seems to me that there has been a comeback from family-friendly folks, conservatives, people who want to make a difference for good and for righteousness. Do you think there's hope?
Oh, there's absolutely hope. You know, is one thing about hitting rock bottom is it does tend to wake people up. The worst things get, the more horrible stuff you see on TV and in the movies, the more it does kind of wake people up. So there is something of an awakening. There is a real power in understanding the techniques and strategies that are being used to transform our nation. If you show them what's happening, how they are being manipulated by corporate interests, manipulated by ideologues who want to sell them on easy sex, if you show them what's really going on, they don't want to be used. They don't want to be part of somebody else's agenda. They will wake up. I've seen that in my own family. I've seen it with many others. So there's a real power in understanding. That really is a very helpful thing.
Today, David, you're speaking to a studio audience made up of Teen Pack media attendees. These folks are teenagers who have flown from around the country to be a part of the program today and to learn a little bit about how Christians can involve themselves in media. What would you tell them today if you wanted to give them a vision for getting involved in impacting the culture for Jesus Christ?
Go into government, go in, become lawyers, all these kind of things, but where my heart is, because I've done this for 25 years, is that get into the news media, because the news media is extremely powerful. This is the filter through which everybody gets their information, and it is really what has gone wrong. All the bad stuff that I write about in my book could not have come about if it had not been with the complicit news media that sort of helped along those agendas. And if you had a news media that were diligent and courageous and based in truth, then it wouldn't matter what the marketers of evil did and said, because you'd have a courageous media knocking it down at every step saying, wait a minute, that's not true. Look at this right here. These are the facts right here. this is what we need in this nation. So I'd encourage them to get involved, but most of all, even more than that, to stick to their guns. Don't be intimidated by the nation out there, by the kind of lost secular culture. Stick to what you know is right, and you know, speak it to your children and others. Like Deuteronomy said, when you lie down, when you walk in the way, that's what we need to be focused on.
We talk about the marketers of evil, but we've got the marketers of good. How does the strategy of marketing differ between those that market evil and those that market good, in your estimation?
Marketers of evil lie. In order to make something evil look good, you have to lie about it. How do you make something that's self-destructive and evil and hurtful look good without deceiving people about it? You do need to market good because, you know, marketing is not bad. Okay, it's marketing evil and lying that's bad. But we do need to market, so to speak, our present effectively our message, okay, a message of truth. To market the truth effectively, you have to understand your audience. You have to understand the minefield that's in their mind. And I try to explain this in my book. You have to understand where people are. And the prejudices that they already have. And then you can come in and say, you know what? Look at this. And you can show the contradiction of what they're believing there. And you have to show them where their error is in order to really market truth. You can't just go and stand on a street corner and say the truth in any old clumsy way you can. You have to be skillful. And to do that, you have to know your subject and you have to know your audience.
You know, the other side sometimes overwhelms us. I think there are some folks out there thinking, man alive, the powers of evil, the powers of darkness are really raging today. It's hard to stand against homosexuality in the schools. It's hard to think that we could ever make an impact when MTV and the three major media outlets kind of control the way people think and live. What do you say to that? What can light do to darkness? How are we, in terms of this battle, able to affect any real change?
Well, you know, we are called to stand for truth. You know, even Jesus said that. He said, for this purpose I came into the world to bear witness unto the truth. We don't have any guarantee of any particular battle of how it's going to turn out. But I would say you will have tremendous influence on people if you are not intimidated by evil. Basically, the way these marketers of evil work, I mean, how do they confuse us? How do they twist our minds around and make us forget what we once knew? There's some kind of intimidation going on. They are scaring us. They're fooling. They're impressing us with their, you know, expert credentials as scientists or professors or whatever. Something like that. They're causing us to doubt what we really know in our heart is true. We need to not be intimidated. We need to hang on to what, you know, we know right is right and wrong is wrong. We don't need to be intimidated. We don't need to be fooled. And you know what? If we don't get angry and we don't get upset and we just see that they're crazy and they're wrong and they're trying to push some agenda that they themselves are in the grip of. They've been marketed to themselves, and you know, in a sense, they're victims too. But we still stand in, you know, in dignified contrast to the sin. We don't give in to it. That's very, very powerful. It's more powerful than we know.
David, as evil began to reign and conquer across this nation, and we've already chronicled that over the last few minutes of this interview, as evil progressed, whatever happened to the church? You spend a little bit of space towards the end of the book on Christianity and what happened as Christianity and the impact of the church began to fall. In just a brief sentence or two, what did the church do?
Unfortunately, the church was job one for the marketers of evil. And so my whole last chapter, it's you know, too much to say in a few sentences, but the whole last 9,000-10,000 words of the book is about exactly what's happened to the church and what we need to do. And I very gently and, you know, in a respectful way point that out, and I quote from Francis Schaeffer and others to really show what's happened and why it is that we can have 80% of Americans self-identify as Christians today. That includes 80% of voters, and yet we have a profoundly anti-Christian culture and laws and institutions. But it's not too late. We can wake up. We can change things. And that's the message of the book.
So what's the solution? What should the church do?
The church parishioners and pastors need to realize that they need to engage the culture. You know, Francis Schaeffer put it this way. You are walking down the street and you see a girl is being mugged and raped across the street by some 200-pound guy. What is it your responsibility to do as a Christian? He said, you have to cross the street immediately and you have to save her even if you lose your life. That's your responsibility as a Christian. And I think that sums it up. There are some things beneath that that have to do very sensitive things that people need to understand that have happened, that have kind of anesthetized us, made us feel like, you know, I'm going to heaven, I'm saved, the end days are coming, it's supposed to be like this, it's supposed to get bad, I'll just wait for the rapture. This is not good, and it is certainly not biblical. We're supposed to engage, we're supposed to, as Jesus said, you know, be a witness unto the truth until the end, whatever that end is and whenever it is. It's not ours to know, you know, when the end of the world is coming or anything like that. That's not for us to know. But we are supposed to do what's right, like Dr. Laura says, do the right thing every day while we're here.
Folks, the book is The Marketing of Evil, How Radicals, Elitists, and Pseudo-Experts Sell Us Corruption Disguised as Freedom.
May I just mention, the book is available at Barnes & Noble and all major bookstores. If you want to get an autographed copy, you can get it from my website, WorldNet Daily. And the best place to go is marketingofevil.com. That's my website, and they can read all about the book.
And there is no better strategy than knowing your enemy, and this book will help you in that regard. It will also equip you to do what is right and stand for truth at a time when we need more people standing for truth. David Capellian, thank you so much for joining us today on Generations.
Thanks for having me.
And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us. This is Generations. Ladies and gentlemen, today the subject is The Marketing of Evil, and I want to encourage you to get this book. However, let me give you a warning first. This book is explicit. This book documents how Kinsey molested hundreds of small children for his research. It talks about how our culture is accepting such despicable things as incest, homosexuality, self-mutilation. There's a particularly nasty practice of suspension or branding. All of these things are mentioned in this book. Why? Well, folks, it's a wake-up call, because there are a lot of families out there that think that they are decent Christian families. They're sending their children like babes in the woods into the hands of the merchants of evil. Happens all the time. They think they're on the way to heaven, but they're sending their children down to hell. They're buying into this evil MTV type of worldview in their dress, their music styles that were invented by the evil men who are self-conscious of what their worldview is. They're relativistic, nihilistic, God-hating people, and they put out this worldview, and thousands of Christian families are running after them, trying to borrow something from them, and in the process, communicating a bad worldview to their children. I'm afraid even Christian media types sometimes buy into the underlying worldview produced by these powerful brokers of evil. If you think that your children may be stumbled in some of these ways, you need to read this book. You need to communicate these things to your children, your closest friends, perhaps your church members, those that are getting into this culture and thinking that somehow they can syncretize it with the holiness of God's law. Don't stumble your kids. Mothers and fathers, I'm encouraging you right now. Stop stumbling your kids. Jesus talks about the millstone treatment. It would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. Way too many children, Christian children, are being stumbled. And the millstone treatment may come to some out there. So if that's where you're at, you need to get this book, The Marketing of Evil. You can get it at worldnetdaily.com. That's worldnetdaily.com. You can interact with this program by emailing me, kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.